Welcome to the Kinjo's podcast. Here we will discuss dance, life, and whatever the fuck we want.
Kinjo Bride. Welcome back to the Kinjo's podcast, Movement in the Shadows. We're your host, Ben.
I'm Charles.
And you got Mike Fowl.
And today in the house, we have a very, very, very special guest. Let me try to do this intro justice.
Do it well, Ben. Do it well.
Founder of After's Ice Cream and a myriad of other culinary concepts. The founder of streetwear company, I Am King. And this guy is just an entrepreneur, dream maker, passion chaser. Just all around stand up, really good guy. My good friend Andy Nguyen is in the house.
Hey, welcome.
Welcome.
So kind, Ben. Thank you for kind words.
Dude, come on, man. Come on, dude. This is a long time coming. Well, dude, thanks for coming on to the show.
Of course.
This is where, so the Kinjo's podcast, we call Movement in the Shadows because this is really where it's kind of like the behind the hustle type of story, but. What people see through social media and all those types of even like shorter interviews, they don't really get to get the full scope and the full story on like how you're doing what you're doing and the, all the steps to get there. So this is really kind of that platform for you to just kind of open up that road. But let's start it off simple with the story. Where'd you grow up? That whole thing. Where are you from?
I'm born and raised in Orange County, Westminster. Okay. To be exact, born in 1984, grew up my entire life in that community. I still live in the Orange County area. I'm probably not going to ever move out.
Whoa. Nice.
I love traveling, but I can't see myself leaving that area.
Word.
Yeah.
So you grew up out there. Did you go to like high school, college, all that too?
I wasn't always the most scholar. I was the best scholar in school. I was always like the troublemaker. Mischievous one. I'm not like the bad kid. I'm just hanging out with bad people.
I can't see you as a bad kid though. You don't give off the bad kid vibe to me. I mean, no offense. No. I mean, you're just Andy, dude. You're a good guy.
I think mischievous is a good word.
Yeah. Okay. I like hanging out.
What are like the most like the mischievous things that you've done?
I got kicked out of school out of my freshman year.
Okay.
Oh man.
What'd you do?
That year I was failing all my classes, I got suspended, arrested. Fights.
You got arrested.
Yeah, shoplifting with my friends at the
mall.
Oh,
shoot, okay.
Oh, but I did it. That's a rite of passage, though.
It is. Yeah. I think so. I think
shoplifting.
Getting that out early out of the way. But it's tough, though. You're I'm Asian, and I'm getting kicked out of school, and I'm going home trying to explain to my parents like what happened, and they're like, "You're born in America. And you're failing English, and you're Asian, and you're failing math. Like, how did you?
Aren't you Asian?
And this is coming from Vietnamese parents.
Vietnamese parents.
Oh man, I am so sorry that you had to go through that. Jeez.
So your parents they immigrated from Vietnam to?
Well, yeah, they moved here after the war. They moved here in the 70s. They started in North Carolina, Minnesota, and ended up in the little Saigon area.
Got you. What did your parents do? Like, just curious.
My mom was like, she worked for like those plastic surgery companies where she was like taking care of the patients. And they would like stay at our house, and you know, I'd wake up and see a lady with like full on mask. You know, like walk out and I'd go. Oh. my dad did a combination of different things. The good things he did, like, he worked for like a company who fixed hearing aids, and then his other side hustle to take care of the family, he was a sports bookie.
Cool.
Yeah.
Dang, that's wild.
That's so, Vietnamese for you, man.
Whatever it takes to take care of the family.
Yeah, no,
whatever
it takes. Yeah, so kind of within the healthcare-ish like realm, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so for yourself, you were like mischievous kid, getting kicked out of school. Like, at what point were you like deciding, like, okay, I need to shape up and figure life out?
I think during my sophomore year when I was going to continuation school.
Okay.
I was stuck at home every single day. You go to continuation. It's like, it wasn't really a school. It's like an office. You go to the office to pick up your homework once a week. And then you're stuck at home the rest of the week because you're in trouble. You can't go anywhere.
Sure.
And I lived across the right across the street from the high school I used to go to, and I'd look out the window every single day at 2:38 and see everyone leaving, having a good time, while I'm stuck at home doing homework and not being able to go out and hang out with anyone. I was like, dude, this, it's cool the first week, you know, at home I get to watch, you know, at home watching MTV and all the soap operas in the daytime for that first week, and after that, I'm like, dude, I need to figure this out. And I don't want my life to go like this. I don't want to be a failure because, you know, everyone's looking at me like, dude, you're about to ruin your life.
Right. So were all your friends like kind of in the same boat as you, or were they like off like doing other things like in the school?
My group of friends, that my circle of friends, they, I don't know, they're a lot worse than me, but they all were still in this high school. They're still in the school. None of them got kicked out except me. And I'm probably like the I'm like the least trouble of all of them. And for some reason,
happens to the best of us.
I guess so.
Okay, okay. So what was, like, so during that high school time, did you finish high school?
I did. So, you know, during that sophomore year, I was like, dude, I need to get back. I want to experience, like, being social, having friends. I didn't want to be that weird, awkward. But I was super weird and awkward before that. I was picked on, fights and all, you know, yada, yada. And I took that sophomore year. I'm like, you know what? If I come back to school, I want to be a completely different person. I want to look back towards, like, people that I look up to and kind of shape myself of who I really am. You know, because before that, I was like always like hiding who I really was and being shy and behind, you know, putting this wall up. And when I came back like my junior and senior year, I started participating in all the clubs. I started like getting involved in, I was joining everything, like dance club, key club, impact club, choir, basketball, anything I could get involved in, I'd get involved in.
Was it just to like try stuff, or were you legit into all
of it? I was into all of it. And,
okay.
You know, that really opened me up, and that made me more aware of like where I was going to take my future. And I was more happy with myself at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by my senior year, you know, they named me, I was the school's best dress my senior year.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
And then they named me the school's, I was the school's social butterfly. I'm like, dude, that's weird. You know, I'm like this awkward kid and I'm the school's social butterfly.
Hell yeah.
Dang, dude. So were you, okay, so out of high school, was there like already a clear career path that you were on, or did you kind of find yourself doing like odd jobs?
Well, once you get kicked out of school, you don't get your fair choice of colleges that you want to go to.
Yes, that is true.
So I went to community college.
Okay.
OCC, Orange Coast College.
Yep.
I went there for about a year and a half. And during that time period, I was taking all my general ed courses. I took career planning classes trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I couldn't figure it out. I felt stuck. I felt trapped. And then you could see my grades start sinking again. I'm like, oh no, I can't. I cannot fall back into that same hole as I did when I was a freshman. So one day, one of my best friends, his name is Polo, he dropped out of school 6 months into it, and he decided to go into real estate. And on a trip back, I think we went to go party in Cal State, you know, Santa Barbara, whatever, up there.
Okay.
And on the drive back, he's like, hey, you should consider doing real estate with me. I'm like, the hell's real estate? I have no idea what you're talking about. He goes, well, I'm doing real estate appraisal, I'm making a lot of money working for this guy. And he's really young.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
He's like, we can start our own company. And that's what triggered it. I was like, you can start your own company. We're only 18 years old. Like, how's that even possible?
Right.
Like, that's not normal, especially at that era. I was like, there's no way you can start your own company. He's like, yeah, this guy's doing it. We can start our own. This is what you need to do to get your license and start your own company. I was like, well, okay. Let's try it out. So I told my parents I was going to stay in school, and do the real estate thing at the same time. So I ended up dropping out and focusing on getting my real estate appraisal license. There's like seven of us, of our group of friends, that tried to do it. And I'm the only one that happened to pass and get my license.
Yeah.
So everyone's like using my license to get their hours in. but we did that for about 2 years. We launched our first company called Home Source Appraisal.
Okay.
We learned how to quickly make a lot of money at that age.
Okay.
But doing it.
What were you guys doing? So like just looking at homes.
We're working like in the real estate appraisal. You're like kind of finding the value for people, the home, so that people can get their loan approved to get their houses. So they'd send us out there, and God knows what they're thinking, because we definitely should not be doing that job. We were driving everywhere, from anywhere in Southern California at the time, from all the way up to like Central California, all the way down San Diego. We were driving like everywhere. Yeah, definitely, my driving skills definitely sharpened up through that whole process.
Just fast and furious, but each time
we're doing one of the houses, we get paid from anywhere as low as $350 to $3,000 a file. And we're doing sometimes 10 to 12 files a day. So if you add that number of it,
yeah,
you're making a lot of money at that age. You know, so we're racking it up, and I was like, okay, this is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But in that time period, I was like, dude, this sucks. I feel like a robot.
Yeah.
I don't like what I'm doing. I don't really know. I don't really understand what I'm doing. I'm just doing what's being told. But I'm like, okay, I'm making money. This is what you're supposed to do. But the job process, I was like, this sucks.
Was that an actual skill, though, you felt like you were exercising? Like, being able to, like, get the, like, cost of these homes and appraise homes? Is that, like a skill that you learned? Or is that just, like...
You learn through a process. Like, we learned through, you know, the people that mentored us. But the skills that we gained from it was direction, like, getting directions. Because we didn't have Google Maps at the time. We had to print everything through MapQuest. And sometimes, you know, when you were going to places, we'd end up, like, in like super sketchy areas. Like I end up in the hood, and then I turn into a neighborhood, and you got cars like blocking me in. Like, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh god,
oh.
I just need to get a picture of the house. And you're supposed to take like pictures of like, it's not random houses, but they're like, they call comparables.
Yeah.
So you get the three pictures of the houses nearby that are, it's not the actual house that you're supposed to go. So when you're taking something, there's people like in front of their house, and you're taking a picture of it, they start chasing you down. And
yeah, I'm sure people don't like you taking pictures of the house.
Yeah, like, take a picture of my house.
And, right.
That was my real estate phase. And
how long was that?
I think about 2.5 years. Okay. In my life. And in that same time period, I had one of my friends who his name was Michael, and he was starting up his first clothing brand.
Sure.
And he reached out to me. He's like, hey, can you be a model for our lookbook shoot? I was like,
let's go.
Yeah, I'm not a model. I am not going to model any clothes. He's like, I'll give you free clothes. I was like, okay, I'm in.
What do you want? I'll pose it up for you.
So I was like, hey, I did the photo shoot for him. And then he kept like asking me to hang out and help him out with things. And we ended up sharing an office. Like, he's like, okay, I don't have enough money. And you guys make some money. So why don't we get an office? You can do your real estate on this side, and I'll do my clothing thing on this side. And you know, when we're in that office every day, I'd like to sit there and watch what he was doing. I'm like, this is way cooler than what I'm doing right now. What I'm doing sucks. This is so boring. And even though he wasn't making any money, I was like, I'd rather be doing that.
Yeah.
Then he had a fallout with one of his partners, and he was getting ready to launch his second brand. It was called Arisu. And I was like, hey, can I invest my money and do this brand with you? And he told me no. I was like, why? I was like, I can do this. Like,
yeah.
He said, I don't think you're ready. I was like, okay. You don't think you're ready? Forget you. I'm gonna go figure something out.
Wow.
I stuck around for a little while, but I went back to my best friend Bolo, and I told him, mm-hmm. I was like, hey, I got this great idea, but we won't start our own clothing brand. We can do a lot better than these guys.
Did you always have that sort of I guess that's like the beginnings of a businessman, right? Like, get your money, stack your chips, and then look for a business to invest into or start up for yourself. Like, did you kind of always have that mentality?
I don't think I had my mentality as like a business. I never saw myself as a business person, because when you talk about business people, you're always talking about like the end result, the exit results of how to make a lot of money or make tons of money. Like, my thought process was never about like making tons of money. When my best friend first approached me about real estate, the money part didn't interest me. Making a lot of money didn't interest me. The part was like, you got to start your own company. You got to do something for yourself.
Mm.
In the clothing side, I was like, okay, well, I got to be creative. This is like my outlet. I like clothing. And this is a way to like, and I dress a little weird. So let's see if I can find a way to express that in my own way.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to go start my own clothing brand.
And was that the beginnings of I Am King, or is there something else?
Yes, that was the I Am King brand. I'm King is short for Imaginary Kingdom. The word Imaginary Kingdom to when we came up with the name was like I refer to the kingdom as your brain. That's the most valuable thing you own. And your imagination, that's where your ideas come from. So you get the word Imaginary Kingdom. And when you break it down, when you cut the words down, you get the word I'm King.
Mm.
Being a leader and changing. And that's what we kind of push things towards.
And what year was this around when I Am started?
We launched the brand in first shipment date. That was summer of 2007.
Got it. Okay. I remember, because I feel like I first met you right around 2008, 9-ish. This is when like ABBC season one had just kind of popped off. And I remember seeing I Am King around a lot during that time. And I think you even had laid some dancers on the show with it. So I was getting familiar with it. But then I saw the growth of even just like what you guys are putting out, from not just like screen tees, but to like the cut and sews and all that. So where did you develop, or how did you, I guess, develop the brand? How did you approach it as a clothing brand from the beginning? And then how did it develop into what it became?
So when we first started, we're always trying to split things in two parts. Like the cut and sew side was supposed to be like, obviously the longer name. So it was supposed to be more like all the cut and sew pieces were supposed to be around the Magic Kingdom name, and all the t-shirt graphics were supposed to be around the I'm King. But end up like, you know, people start gravitating towards the word I'm King. So we're like, it was just, let's just run with that name. But we're going to tell the story. We'll tell the story about the Imaginary Kingdom. How we designed a lot of pieces. Our graphics at the time were, you know, there are so many brands out there already. You know, they had the Hundreds and Diamond, Black Scale, everyone's, and Crooks and Castles. They're all picking up steam at that time. And we're like, dude, we need to find a way to like stand out amongst, you know, in our crowd and find out what's our vibe and our lifestyle. So, you know, a lot of our graphics were really loud at the time. We're like, we're not going to do just logo shirts. We're going to do like, really thought out conceptual designs. Like all of our, you see a lot of our early designs are always like really thought out. Like, okay, if we explain it to you, you're like, oh, I get it. And like, as for the cut and sew pieces, like we wanted to look as fresh as possible. So we're like, we're going to like South Coast, and we're going to all the high end stores. We'd buy all those dope pieces that we wanted.
Yeah.
And then we would flip it.
Yeah.
And then we took this dope ass jacket from Gucci, and we're like, we want like this jacket, but make it like this, this, and this. And whenever we bring it to the show, you know, we brought it our own way, and we wanted it like price point friendly.
Yeah.
And that's why we kind of saw how we did our cut and sew. And when we came to the trade show, everyone's like, dude, you have all these technical pieces, and all we were like, oh, we just picked up really expensive stuff. And
so you went to buy like Gucci stuff and put it on the company card, be like, yo, this is R&D right here. So I'll write this off.
Yeah, we took it.
And I'm going to make my own version of it.
Right. Normally China, like they'll put like, you send it like, when you're doing like manufacturing overseas, they'll usually punch a hole in it and put like sample in it.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, make sure you send it back.
It's expensive.
We need to go return this jacket out to her.
Good, man.
That's
dang. Okay, so like, how long did that go for? How long did I Am King run?
I Am King for about 7 years, and when we started the brand, we came in at such an interesting time because we came in at the recession.
Yeah.
I remember going to trade shows in New York, and I'd see signs that said 90% off, and I'm like, dude,
dang, that's wild.
We're idiots. We're going into we're doing clothing industry, and things are 90% off. How you're supposed to survive through this? And, you know, we figured out at the time like what to do, and it was tough. It was definitely a tough road.
Who was like on your team at that time? Like, was it just you and Polo, or
me and Polo are the founders and the owners of it. But we recruited a lot of people, a lot of like really really talented people. My sales reps were my friends Chris and Lee, who own a huge branding agency now. They own about 8 clothing brands under their belt that they used to work under me, and they're doing sales of like 60, 70 plus million a year now.
Oh my God.
We have our designer, Marilyn. She's like a huge social media girl now. She's like Skrillex's like right hand person.
Wow.
She's rolling with them and doing all their merch now.
Yeah.
Brian Temple, who's our visual guy, who came in and really directed the look of our brand. He's
I know Brian.
You know Brian?
Yeah, I used to dance the adhesion against him.
Oh wow! Brian is like a visual genius, and we brought him. You know, we brought him in and seen how he's grown. Now he's, you know, shooting for like huge companies.
Wow!
And his visuals are beyond what when he first started.
Yeah.
So a lot of people from our team have like really grown and made a mark in the industry.
Now, were these like your team? Was these like all the homies from high school that you just like brought on, or did you like put out like a casting, like calling old cars type
of? It was
post
like,
or what?
You know, it's like you're catching like good vibes on like who we were working with. Like,
got it.
Like Chris, like the only person that came from another company was like Chris, and he came from a smaller brand. But when we brought him on, he you know, he really took our sales to another level, and he really understood the industry and where to take things. But everyone else was like, okay, I used to play basketball with him. I think he'd be a great marketing guy. He likes to talk to people. And this other guy, Lee, he works hard and he wants to do sales. So we'll let him intern and see what happens.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, it's like weird. It's mostly all vibes that we caught off of. Not really like posting any. We never really posted jobs out there. Yeah.
So then with the clothing scene though, so you probably saw streetwear, like the trends, like just develop from like that time. Cause I feel like streetwear really got hot right around that time, even though it was kind of during the recession, but that's where like brands like Crooks were blowing up and like, you know, Stussy was doing the thing, Diamond was blowing up and all that. And I feel like I Am King was like kind of right in that realm of it. What was, I guess, your reasoning for thinking that you wanted to transition out of that?
I think going to on to our seventh year, like the industry was already shifting. And for me, when I was traveling, I was already developing like different hobbies and interests. And when you do something, the same thing for 7 years, you're like, dude, I don't want to keep doing the same thing forever. Mm-hmm. At first, I thought I was going to do like fashion clothing forever. I never thought I was going to go into another industry. Mm-hmm. So after that time period, I was traveling and I kept getting inspired, and I was like, I kept seeing like really cool, unique ice cream stores, and I was like, dude, Orange County doesn't have jack shit, you know?
That is very true.
We have Baskin Robbins, we have Cold Stone, we have Thrifty. Cool, those are awesome. Those are great places, but they're boring, and they close at 9 o'clock, and you know, like we're like, I want to do something. I can. The things that I traveled and saw, like, you know, I can do what they're doing, but I can do it in my own way. I think I can do a lot better.
Mm-hmm. And so you do it with style, man.
Thank you.
Those actors stores are like just clean.
Thank you.
Yeah, super clean.
Yeah. So, you know, I had this idea in my head for 2 years. I was actually giving away the idea to my friends. I didn't have time to do it because, you know, I was super busy with King at the time. I was like, hey, you should do this like this ice cream concept. You kill it. And they're like, ha, yeah, whatever. And I was like,
yeah, Andy.
And then we actually, before I even did the Afters idea, we're actually trying to buy, like, we're trying to find a new spot for the On King store. We're in Santa Ana. We're going to do like a speakeasy clothing store. Like, the ice cream store is going to be in the front, and then you find the hidden freezer door and takes you to the back, and the On King store is in the back. So that was our game plan, what we wanted to do. But ended up, you know, whatever happened, we ended up not doing it. And then I had this idea in my head for a long time, and everyone kept turning me down. And, you know, me and my friend, my childhood friend Scott, were talking one day at a dessert place, and we were both talking about, like, our dessert ideas. We both wanted to open a dessert place, and our ideas were like, pretty similar, and it fed off well off each other. And we're like, oh, wow, like, this is interesting. So we kept talking about it more and more, and then we kept going to the gym, and we're like, "Hey, do you want to do this project?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm down if you're down to do it." So we go out. He goes, "I'm gonna go hunt for this. I'm gonna go hunt for an ice cream shop." Mm-hmm. I was like, "Are you serious? You're gonna do it for reals?" Like, yeah, I'm gonna look for ones that aren't doing well, and then we're gonna offer to buy them out. I was like, "Oh crap!"
Yeah.
Okay. So we found this location right across the street from the gym that we worked out every single day. In Fountain Valley, and then that store that was there, I've never been there. And I've grown up in this area my entire life. I was like, "There's an ice cream store there." it was called Lola's Ice Cream and Deli. The sign said Lola's Ice Cream Deli.
Okay.
And the guy was open maybe once every other week.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, and then,
he's not open all the time.
No, because he opened when he felt like it. Because he already had money.
Well, it's Lola's, man.
He did it because he wanted to have a place for him and his grandchildren to go scoop ice cream with the tickets to the park and scoop and sell.
Wow.
So he was like, "Well, it's not doing well, but whatever. I don't really care." And they were like, "Okay, look, if you don't want it, can we buy you out?" And Scott trying to negotiate with him on what to do. And I was like, "This guy's gonna buy into it." Because he's like he's like 64 years old, and he's like an old white guy.
Yeah.
I got these two Asian groons walking in there, and hey, we're gonna take over your store. Yeah, you know, we kept selling him on this dream that we envisioned, and he was like, "I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm gonna give it a shot."
Wow.
So, you know, we came in there, and I ended up bringing my two partners, you know, my partners with me too. And then we ended up negotiated a deal, and we locked it in. And we said we're gonna flip your store, like we're gonna completely change this whole thing. And then when it opens, you're gonna have like lines out the door every single day. And he was kind of laughing it off. He's like, "No, you guys are idiots. Like, lines, like no one comes to this area."
That'll be the day.
That'll be the day. And then you know we came up with the idea. Scott had the name after us because he was researching it for like years already. I had the flavor, all the flavor profiles. I had it all like the ice cream flavor I've been drawing out for a long time. I was like, these are the flavors we're going to test out. So I was making him, the owner, John, the white guy, John, I was making him make the experiment on the flavors. And he'd make these flavors. He'd be like, no one's going to buy this. Like, dude, I'm like, trust me. Like,
wait, so how did you know that this guy was like the ice cream guy? I mean, he had a shop that he opened up once a week.
Yeah.
Like, what made you guys feel like this?
We tried his product and I was like, well, shit, I don't know how to make ice cream. Scott, you know how to make ice cream? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
John knows how to make pretty. He's done it for 5 years, and you know, for him, when he talks about it, it was like a science when he talked about it. So
okay.
We knew he really cared about it.
Sure.
And we started testing out flavors. He executed really well. Like, you know, like I was like, hey, I want a milk and cereal flavor. I want cookie butter. I want Vietnamese coffee. And I want like horchata flavor. He's like, I've never eaten these items before.
Are you?
Yeah, so I said,
right,
I told him like jasmine milk tea. He's like, what is milk tea? I was like, oh crap, we're in trouble. But you know, when he'd make it, and you know, I'd send him recipes, and he'd tweak it and make it work. And I'm like, he did. It came out really well.
Dude, that's insane. Just imagining just showing up with boba in your hand, and you hand it to him. I want this and ice cream.
That's exactly what I want.
He takes a sip, and he's like, I got it.
And then I'm like, I want it purple. Like, why purple? I was like, it's gonna stand out. No one wants to look at it.
Because
brown.
Jasmine is purple. It makes sense. Trust me.
Exactly. What was the thing that like got him to trust you guys? Like after, I mean, you guys offered once, and he's like, nah.
I think he was always reluctant along the entire way. When we came in there, we took all, like, we were throwing out all his chairs and furniture. We're like painting the store black, and he's like, dude, like, who's gonna come into a black ice cream store? We're putting quotes on the walls, like the quotes were like, I remember the one was the wall on the back said, Gucci Mane loves ice cream, and he's like, what's a Gucci Mane? We're like, it's this rapper, and he has an ice cream tattoo in his face, and he's in jail right now, so we should be okay. If he gets out of jail, we'll take it down.
He just shows up at the store,
right?
Is that my name?
I do love ice cream.
Yeah, and then, you know, when we started conceptualizing, it was beyond the ice cream. We knew ice cream itself was not going to take us to the next level. Like, it was going to help put us on the map. And this is six, seven months before this, the Corona just came out. And then when the Corona came out, that was the first time, I think, news ever took... They took food in a different way. Like, it's all, you know, food mashups like that. Like, all the news outlets...
Was that like the croissant donut?
Yeah, the croissant donut.
Okay.
When that first dropped, that was a New York thing.
Yeah.
And it got like worldwide news, and no one's ever seen that before. And the next thing after that was, a few months later, it was the ramen burger. And that was like another New York item. And we just hit around a weird time. We were working on like... my idea was supposed to be like waffles. And we're supposed to do like waffle sandwiches, different waffle flavors.
Yeah.
And then... we kept doing it, and we just totally bombed it. We're like, dude, we can't get it right. And then we tried different items. We tried, like, the sweet bread, and sweet bread was getting closer. And then Scott was like, I'm going to think of something else. And then he drives to, like, a donut store. He drives past a donut store one day, and he brings it back. And I'm like, yo, we're about to go eat lunch right now. He's like, no, we're gonna try the donut instead of the sweet bread.
Yeah.
We're going to take the jelly out and try it out. And we took a bite, and I was like, okay, that's it. That's it.
Wow.
Is that all in one day, or was this like a long?
That was like over like a 6 month period.
I just imagine that like one day.
Everyone's story, like they always hope they go, were you guys high? I was like, I don't even smoke. It would sound a lot cooler if we did.
Yes.
we had to figure out how to name it, and we didn't want to just call it like donut ice cream. We had to, you know, create a name for it.
Very clever.
So we're like, okay. Let's call it, you know, like we had like icy bun, ice cream bun, creamy bun, milky bun, and like milky bun.
Whoa.
Took a vote, and that was the name that we decided to go with.
Okay.
And then upon opening, we did a test run of just ice cream. And we opened the day after Valentine's Day, February 15th, 2014. We opened around then because we were like, okay, well, it's cold. It's not going to be too busy. It's going to give us time to like learn the business.
Yeah.
And, you know, we approach the marketing a lot differently, like visuals, like, okay, this is how we look. Just like in clothing, like, we want things to look good, so we're always, like, trying to shoot food a certain way. The way we talked about the, you know, talked about the food and adding the lifestyle element to it. It just knocked it right out of the park. Like, the timing and everything that we hit was just, like, perfect. And next thing you know, lines down the block. Every news station trying to contact us every single day for, like, months, and we're, like, shooting content. Like, we're on this channel, we're on that channel, we're on this blog. And that first location every single day for about a year and a half, lying down the block right when we opened.
That's crazy.
Damn.
Always your Fountain Valley location.
Fountain Valley location. Yeah. And no one knows what the hell Fountain Valley was. If I went to Rouse to go Fountain Valley, they're like, up the valley and up the 101. I'm like, no.
Did that Lola guy see what was happening?
Well, when we told him we're going to have lines out the door, we didn't know. It was like, those guys. We thought, like, lines in the store, like, you know, like 10, 20 people at a time. We made, like, a few hundred bucks a day. We'd be happy.
Yeah.
You know? Every day, line down the blocks, and we're just, like, scratching our head, like, how do we keep up with this?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure when he came, was his mind just, like, blown, like, whoa, what are you guys doing over here?
Like, what just happened? Like, all of us were like, what just happened?
Yeah. You should have told him, Gucci Mane likes ice.
Like, for the first week that we opened, so we have this flavor called the Cookie Monster, which is, like,
I love Cookie Monster.
So that first, he had that flavor from Lola's already. So he had, but it was a regular vanilla color, right? And I was like, that has to be blue. He's like, that first week, he's like, I'm not making it blue. No one's going to eat it. I was like, make it blue. Trust me. It's called Cookie Monster. We need to make it blue. So once he changes to blue, our sales jumped up. Like, that sold, like, 25 to, like, one on ice cream flavor. And he's like, I'm not just not going to question you anymore. just do whatever you want.
That's like wild. Monster, it's like one of those things that's, like, Instagrammable, but also, like, holds its weight in terms of flavor.
Exactly, flavoring. Yeah, because it's chocolate chip cookies, or, you know, it's like a cookies and cream on crack.
Yeah, that's what's up. So when you guys, or before you opened, were you guys pumping, like, tons into, like, marketing efforts? Like, how did you get the lines to, like, or how did you get the store to pack out like that?
You know, I think there was a lot of things that hit at the right time. One was we hit the right media outlets first. And I think I remember my friends were from Food Beast and he used to be in clothing. So I was like, hey, can you do a post for us? And once they did a post, OC Weekly saw it. Huffington Post wanted to shoot about it. And then Yahoo sees it. And Yahoo's like, oh, we want to write about it now. And then from Yahoo, KTLA News, and then Cooking Channel, blah, blah, blah. And then also, like, myself being in the clothing industry, everyone's like, well, the clothing guy's opening an ice cream store. What the hell's going on? Yeah. So everyone's so curious. And all these things are all tying together. And the way that the social media looks and the way we're building a lifestyle. And this is, like, completely new to the industry. Now it's, like, a norm. Like, everyone's doing what we were doing back then. But at that time, no one was doing that and attacking, like, the millennials. Like, Cronut, he was, like, a high-end chef. Ramen Burger, he's, like, a street guy. He was, like, a guy selling at the park. But we're targeting, like, we're, like, the millennial crowd. We're adding that lifestyle. When you come in the store's, at the time, I think the fashion trend was, like, all black and white, like the Chanel minimalism look. So that's that's how we kind of got a lot of the ideas from. And then we added the lifestyle element of being cool and hip-hop and urban culture and EDM pumping through speakers and used, you know, like when you wear the shirts, it, like, has, like, cool quotes on it. And
yeah.
When you walk in the store, you kind of felt that. And that's what we kind of, and we're open to midnight. Other ice cream stores open to midnight at the time.
Yeah. I remember when I drove up, it was the night where the lines were out the door and it was, like, pretty late. It was like 10 something o'clock at night. And then when I came in, and of course I had heard about it, you hit me up about it. And then I saw it through Instagram and all this stuff. So I'm like, yo, this is going to be crazy. But I remember, like, the feeling when I walked in and just experiencing everything from the crowds to, like what the crowds were made up of, you know, like the age group, a bunch of Asians, right? And then seeing, like, hearing the music, seeing, like, the decor and everything. And I was like, wow, this is, like, the first step towards, like, urban fusion into the food game. I mean, people were doing it with other concepts, but I felt like for it to be done with the dessert realm, I knew that, like, yo, this is another game changer. You know what I mean? This is what our demographic, or the millennials, this is what we gravitate towards and what resonates with us. And so I knew that was, like, all right, this guy hit it again, dude. You know what I mean? So, man, that was really cool to see that. So from there, that was, like, year one of just the Fountain Valley location?
Year one, for about 11 months we had that first location, before we opened our second store.
And then like, what? How long did it take before you started opening up other locations?
So we found the second store in Chino Hills, which I've never been to Chino Hills before we opened in Chino Hills. I remember like looking at the location. It was like a former bakery, and we're like, it's not going to cost us too much to launch it. And so everyone was like, let's just try it out. And I know we were like visiting, like we drop in to see how the traffic was there. Sometimes I text the partners. I'd be like, guys, it's so dead here. We're screwed. Like we're gonna die. Like our hometown. Like we know we could. You know, we're in Fountain Valley. We have to kill it. We live in that in Orange County. But Chino Hills, we don't know this area. We don't know how it's going to do. And we're like, let's just try it out. So, you know, we stepped up our design game for that location. And then we launched in 2015 of January. I think January 3rd. I remember clearly for some weird reason. And it was even busier than the first location.
Wow. Yes.
I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. That's awesome. Dang, that is like literally like going viral right in the food game.
Yeah. So once we knew the second location like really struck, like we knew we were onto like real. Because you know the first location, everyone's like 3 months in, they're like, you're eight. It's gonna die down after 3 months. We're like, well, I don't know. I didn't even know it was gonna be this busy in the first place. Like, you know, people are just like, oh, it's just hype. Whatever, it is what it is. Once the second location hit, we knew we're like, okay, we're onto something that people haven't tapped into yet.
Yeah.
So we need to expand like really heavy from here.
Sure. I mean, like, as much as, like, even from the way that you're talking about it, you're making it sound like you just got really lucky and you just kept on getting really lucky. It's exciting to believe that.
But the premeditated idea of having, like, an ice cream store, like, I don't think a lot of people would think just to, like, make an ice cream store. You have to be really, like, you know, not
you
passionate, but you gotta want to do it, you know?
That's what I'm
mean?
Saying. I don't feel like you're gonna just keep getting lucky and keep, like, hitting, like, it out the park. Right. I think there's some level of a methodical way that you probably figured out, like, okay, if this hit in this way this first time, how do we keep repeating that, right? Yes. So what was your process in terms of, like, actually being, like, a nerd about it and, like, really just, like, going into, like, knowing the dessert business and knowing how to kind of recreate this and create that energy to keep going?
I think after the first two stores, like, we knew, like, we had to buckle down. That's when we, like, our, you know, our meetings got more, like, serious, and when we sat down and talked, like, the direction of the brand, like, how do we grow from here? How do we emulate success of what, like, a Cold Stone has done, or a Pink Bear and Yogurt, and how do we do what they've done, but in our way of things, like, our more approachable way to this generation. And honestly, it's been... There's like so many different things that we've tried along the way, and we kind of studied the market of like what we've done in the past, like with clothing, and because we're in the business of generating hype, getting people excited. Like we knew how to do that. We're like we can do this. We for sure can do this with ice cream. It's easier with ice cream than doing clothes. Clothes you're only selling to guys. Ice cream you're selling to everybody.
Right.
So you know we're the way the store looks, the way the processes go. Like we really like tighten things up. Like we're still changing things to this day, like systems and logistics, and it's tricky and it gets harder every time.
Yeah, I mean, like you said about building or being in the business of hype, it's just creating a culture, and it's I guess developing your following and then knowing what that following wants, right? And then I mean, like you said, yeah, like selling a t-shirt what $18 with like an ice cream cone is like what $3, so I'm sure the margins are a lot better and everybody wants ice cream, right? You know, and I think so with that though, so did you really take the streetwear, like that whole model of like creating like a cool culture? Like how much of that was in your thought process, like directly with this, or was that just kind of like the marketing tools that you learned through that you applied, or was it some sort of direct correlation that you put to it?
I think it's a part of like our entire lifestyle, how we think and who we hang out with and, how we grew up anyways. I think that was all part of how that all shaped up and came together, because a lot of it was, you know, like Scott was doing footwear at the time, I did clothing at the time, and we learned those techniques from there, but we knew nothing about the food business, and we're just trying to apply the stuff that we knew through different work experiences and put it into what Afters became.
And did you guys like operate the store, the locations yourselves, or did you guys hire people to operate
them? First one, we operated ourselves because we wanted to learn the entire system.
Yeah.
Like from the ice cream, I remember like I was learning how to make ice cream. Like, I don't remember much of it now, but I remember sitting there like turning and pulling it out. Like, I was like, I need to know how to make this. I need to know how to work the cash register. I need to know how to do scheduling. I was like, I wasn't doing scheduling before. I didn't do scheduling on King. Like, it wasn't my thing. Because everyone's like, here, everyone comes in nine to five, you get out by 5 o'clock. Or if you're shipping, then you gotta stay after. But for the ice cream business, we had to have a schedule. We had to learn how to keep, we're pumping out so much ice cream that if you have the thing open too much, it starts melting. So we had to, you know, we had to plan things around, like how long to keep the ice cream out before we put, or if it's too cold when it comes out of the deep freeze, like you're breaking your wrist trying to scoop, get a scoop out.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, we're learning different things along the way. Like, if you take it out, you need to leave it out for like 30 minutes. So you need to plan ahead once you get to like this part of the ice cream bowl, then you put the next one in. Even how to pass out the bun, when to press it, like all that stuff. Like,
wow, I'm sure that learning process must have just been like hours upon hours upon days.
We're in it, so we're changing it like on the spot. You know, like,
sure.
We're like, okay, we're going to break this window, we're going to put through and change this to this. Even though the store was still small, we're like, we have to keep changing things too.
Yeah, so like you guys literally learned how to operate from top to bottom from that first location.
Correct.
And then from there, you hired operators to handle location 2, 3.
Yeah, we hired people that have worked in the restaurant industry that know more than us to help us like line things up, to how to do, how to run multiple stores at one period. Like those are things that are like past my pay grade. Like I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I need to get someone else that's an expert at this. So like,
yeah.
Okay, let's not do what I'm good at. Just focus what I'm good at and just have someone else do that.
So Chino Hills opened up when?
January 3rd, 2015.
Okay. And then when did you guys, like, when was, like, the mass, like, afters spread?
Empire.
The second year, we opened about 3 to 4 more stores. I believe.
Jeez.
Tustin, Long Beach. Ugh, I forgot where else. Third year, we opened another 7, 8 stores. We're at store.
Wow.
Right now, we're in 4.5 years, like, a little over 4.5 years now. And we're at store number 24.
Holy crap.
24?
Yeah.
In 4 years.
4.5 years. Yeah.
What was the year that like you just opened up the most doors?
Last year we went like nuts. We're just like, we're just gonna go crazy and open as much as we can. We signed so many leases.
And is this, are you guys franchising it, or is this
all self-owned by us? Like, we have no franchises. It's all corporate owned by our group. And like, we wanted that way. We wanted more control to see what happens. And
yeah,
like, we don't know what we're gonna do next. So we're trying to figure that out. So.
That's crazy. Are you like having fun with this?
I'm having fun with it. It's a different fun than it used to be now. I'm always looking to create, like, you know, I'm always looking forward to do what's next.
Yeah.
And how to tackle the next industries.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, outside of afters, because you were doing afters, or you've been doing afters this whole time, but you have a bunch of other food concepts that you opened up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have, Pig Pen Delicacy. You have
Red Envelope, Dough and Arrow, which is our cookie concept. Groundhouse, which is a new burger concept that we launched last week. Portside, our seafood concept.
Hitting everything.
This is crazy.
We're just going to, yeah. It's,
so it's just a whole gamut of food, like everywhere.
Yeah, I'm just trying to ruin people's diets.
Make them happy, ruin their diets.
Are those all in the OC?
Yeah, we usually incubate a lot of the concepts back in our home area to make sure, because it's close, it's easy for us to check on. And if it does well there, then we start expanding in different areas. And a lot of the brands are getting into their second, third, and fourth location now on each project. Red Envelope just launched a second location in Orange County. Our third and fourth location will be in Chino Hills and Riverside next. We know, you know, we're like Chino Hills again, but now Chino Hills, like, what can I do there now?
Chino's in now. Chino's like, all right, we love you guys.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, so when we first started kicking it, we've been talking for years about like collaborating on something, right?
Yeah.
And like, this goes back to, I feel like even like 2000, I don't know, 9, 10, where we're just talking about, like, oh, we gotta do something. And then, was it 2015, 2016 that we did the collab with you guys?
2017,
you guys brought out your, opened up your Alhambra shop, right?
Yeah.
And we set up shop here in Dojo in end of 2015. And yeah, that was, like, I think the cool thing, I think, about you, Andy, that if I were to have brought up a collaboration idea to any other food concept, like, yeah, we're a dance crew. You guys want to collaborate? They're like, pretty good. Get out of here. Like, yeah. We have no interest in collaborating with, like, a dance crew, right? Yeah. But I feel like something that is very unique and that I admire about you and I love is your ability to see things outside the box and think very unconventionally. And so when I approached you about, like, yo, you guys are coming down the street from us, like, why don't we do a little collab? And, like, you were like, yeah, let's do it. Like, there was, like, not even hesitation. Yeah. And in your mind, I'm sure you're probably like, I don't know what it's going to look like or what the product's going to be. But, like, it was fun. I remember just sitting in, like, a think tank with you and, like, yo, could we make an ice cream flavor? You're like, yeah. Like, what do you have in mind? Like, well, we have a homie that's a chef. Like, he has, like, this dope, like, black sesame, Rice Krispie caramelized thing. Like, he can make the flavor. And then we went out to Huntington Beach and got into the flavor lab with the Wizard of Oz of ice cream, you know. And we made the ice cream flavor, and then we, you know, made a t-shirt and a hat, you know, just kind of have some product there. And like, it was just off to me, it was just exciting because I'm like, we're creating something random and applying the same sort of, like, you know, hype, creating hype and buzz. And at the time we had just, like, finished, like, doing, it was the World of Dance. Yeah, World of Dance. We just finished that. But like, just your downness for it was what was exciting to me. But it was also scary for me because I was like, I hope this is going to be cool. And I hope people show up, you know?
Yeah,
and then
I remember, like, I don't.
Yeah.
I was like, I was texting you. I was like, hey, man, there's a lot of people here.
And I was like, oh, shoot. And then we were going to, oh, we'll just, like, you know, small little in-store performance and whatever. And then, like, yeah, like,
shut down
three.
The block, dude.
Like, and he texted me, he's like, yo, dude, people are, like, lined up around the block. And so I remember showing up, I'm like, holy crap, like, what is happening? And then there was, like, police helicopters.
Yeah,
why are we,
like,
camera. Like, thinking that there's some sort of riot happening.
That was so crazy.
And I mean, yeah, dude, again, it's just like, it was so fun to do that. And, like, again, it just shows the type of mind that you have of, like, creating something from scratch, changing the game. I think that's why I like to call you, like, that dream maker, passion chaser. You just go for the thing that you most believe in, and obviously you don't shortcut, and you take things very seriously, so you make sure it works, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I just gotta, like, shout that out with, you know, to you right quick.
Can I tell you guys, like, a little weird story about, like, my past that I never told? Like,
yes,
so
yes.
Like, he'll one of my buddies here, he'll know, he'll understand it why. So dance to me has, like, a weird special place for me, like, really, really weird place for me. So when I was a kid, I was super, like I mentioned, like, before, I was, like, super awkward. And then my freshman year, that's when I first, like, you know, like, dude, I was, like, seeing all these people, like, battling and dancing all the time. So I was like, dude, that's super cool. I want to learn how to dance. But I'm super awkward, and I don't know if I can get there. I'm, like, super shy. I don't talk very much. And then I remember the first time I remember when, like, trance was, like, getting popular when I was a freshman, and then everyone was doing that Nordic track dance.
Nordic track.
And I was like, the Nordic track. And I was like,
yeah,
cool. I'm like, I can do that. So I started doing it, and, like, a lot of dances. And then along the way, I was like, okay, sea walking became, like, super cool.
Yeah,
I was in there.
And when I was in around when I was growing up with my group of friends, where that's all we did all day long was, like, practice and go battle everybody. And that's a lot of times when I learned through a lot of dance was, like, a lot of my confidence builder.
Yeah.
I wasn't, like, the greatest, but when I'd go, I feel like a completely different person. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I was like, you guys, it's like my mask on. You know, I'd go out there full on confidence, I'd battle, and I'd be like, dude, I just took that guy out. I got this. Like, I come into the circle, I'm like, I got this. That guy's dead. I'm going to ruin the circle. And for years, like, a lot of those years early, my years from, like my junior, senior year, like, I'm going to everyone's school dance. I'm just going to destroy everybody right now. I got this. But that was, like, my confidence level. That, like, gave me a lot of, like, that's, like, my superpower at the time. I was like, dude, if I go on a dance, I got this. Like, I'm not scared.
Yeah.
I think that's why it has, like, a special place for me. Like, I was appreciated and, like, watching it. I'm like, dude, I love it. Like, I'm not doing what they do, but for me, it's like, that was, like, my confidence builder. You know, I was that weird closet. I didn't talk for you. I was, like, that quiet guy in the group. But I think that, like put me out there more to, like, don't be afraid. Just, like, go in there. Just have a good time. This is your way of expressing yourself.
Yeah, dude, that's so legit. I mean, we talk about this all the time, like, about why we started dancing. And most guys have the same stories. Like, well, I noticed that girls like guys who can dance, so I decided I would like to try this thing, and it just kept going.
Yeah,
it really is a confidence builder.
It's like we did that, and then now we're here. Oh shit! I think that's really cool, though. That like dancers, you're like just that it was like a confidence builder for you. Yeah, I feel like that's super cool to hear.
Do you feel like you're an entrepreneur? Would you define yourself as an entrepreneur?
That word is like so, I don't know, it's so weird for me, the word entrepreneur. Like, I see myself as like I want to be like the creative, like build a strong creative culture. And it happens, I just happen to fall into entrepreneurship.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't. Like I mentioned, you guys, I don't vision things like I'm not looking things as a dollar sign. I'm not looking like I'm gonna go make like 100 million or be a billionaire from this. Like, that's not my goal at the end of the day. Like that doesn't drive me. You know, what drives me is like how can I make an impact? How can I like shift cultures? How can I like change communities like in certain ways? And yeah, through fashion and storytelling and food, I've been able to be creative and use my creative outlet for that. And I just happen to own a lot of businesses through it, but I don't see myself as like the normal business guys. I'm not out there like, no, I'm not out there like my goal is to make $1 million. I'm going to go out there and kill everybody to get to get that dollar. But for me, it's just how can I shift this community? If I go into like, whether I stay in food or I go into like music, art, sports, politics, how can I go into those industries? How can I shift it? How can I make it cooler? I just want to go to different industries and make it a lot cooler.
Mm. Hell yeah.
So when you, like, say, start up a new business venture, are you already thinking about how that venture is going to end? Or is there anything that you look at as, like, this is going to go on forever and then find out that, okay, I'm bored of it now?
I'm always, since I'm out there so much now, I'm, like, traveling all the time, so I'm getting, like, My head's always brewing with ideas. I'm like, you know, I've seen this. I'm a little skewed on when I go out to eat now. When I used to go out to eat, you know, I used to go out to eat for the enjoyment of it. Now when I go out to eat, I'm like, that tablecloth should be like this. This way, this food should be placed like this. If you put that item in this, the sales would go up like this much. Like, this is the if you put replace this menu items like this.
Yeah.
So that's how kind of, you know, I'm a little skewed on that part of like on those things now.
Yeah.
But approaching different businesses, like how am I going now? Like I look at it as in, like how do I do things on a bigger scale now?
Yeah.
You know, like I look at real estate a lot different than I used to when I was younger. How can I go into this shopping mall and redefine how the shopping experience? Because I told you when we had a conversation last time, you know, people say retail is dead. I'm like,
yeah,
that's not true. I was like, retail is only dead because you're not adapting to what's going on right now.
Yeah.
If you go to places like the Ice Cream Museum or Happy Place, and those are people are spending money on those things because to give you an experience, you're going out there, you're doing things that are hitting you at all your sound, vision, taste, smell, and I think that's what people are looking for. If you're turning stores into more of an experience than trying to sell them product all the time, people will start buying into you. They'll buy into you like in the long run. Like if you maybe you don't buy something at the store, you go online, you're like, I love this brand, I'm just going to go buy it. I'll buy it online instead.
I love that. I mean, I think you hit it on the head with even, probably even like why the Alhambra store opening was such a, like a hitter, because that was the afters experience, but yet with a fully unique spin to it with like Kinja's, you know, involved. And like you guys branded the whole front of your store with like Kinja's branding, where it looks like it's the Kinja's ice cream store. Right? And it's still up there.
Yeah, it's like, still up, and it always keeps me out.
And we love that, Andy. Feel free to keep that up.
Please don't take that down.
Yeah, love
it. I take girls there all the time. Like, see, I own a Kinja.
This is my ice cream store.
It's crazy. After that after we had that grand opening event, because the sales were like okay, but we knew like when this event happens. After that, like sales were like skyrocketing.
Hell,
like,
man,
that's what it does really well.
But that's the thing, yeah. You're creating an experience and like yeah, making everything have its own identity. And I'm sure even from shop to shop, like you have your Pasadena one that's like at an old gas station or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we picked this vintage gas station.
That's so sick.
And we could have been on call because everyone's like, why did you go in Colorado? And we're like, well, you can't get a vintage gas station anywhere. So we're going to if we're gonna get a location, we're gonna make this one like something. We're gonna turn this into a destination, even though it's not on the prime street. Like, you know, we're gonna turn this into a prime street.
Yeah.
It's one of our best. It's still one of our best performers now.
So sick. And you guys have ice cream trucks now too, right?
Yeah, we have like ice cream event trucks that we have going out in the streets. We have special carts we do for catering. We do all the music festivals now.
Yeah, you guys are at Coachella.
Yeah.
Dude, I got so stoked when I was driving to Coachella and I saw a giant truck that said After's Ice Cream. I'm like, yo, I know that guy. Yeah, so cool, man. And thanks for, like, you guys were at Arena, too. You guys definitely have presence there. Hooked everybody up with some delicious ice cream.
Yeah, the dancers got hooked up. I was actually in the backstage where all the dancers were practicing and stuff. And I was like, damn, these people are spoiled right now. Getting ice cream while you're freaking rehearsing and competing.
Dancing with stomach aches.
Yeah.
Like, what are those, massage tables? You get ice cream, man, and massage?
Yeah, I was like, what in the world?
Life is
big. Dang, so how, like, do you know how many businesses you currently have up and running right now?
In the food realm itself, probably like 8 or 9. And then I have like business ventures outside of food too that I work on. Probably like 13, 14 different projects I have.
Yeah.
Maybe
wow.
more. I don't want to say it to scare myself, but
sure.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's definitely a lot. But I have great teams around me that support the vision and allow me to be able to continue to create and have fun and do what I do. And still have the flexibility of traveling and finding some balance. I don't know what kind of balance it is, but, you know, trying to go out there and seek it somehow.
Yeah. Well, how do you keep up with it all? Like, yeah. Like, do you have a personal assistant?
You know, I did before. I used to. I kind of took that off the table. I figured out my role. You know, I was like, I don't need to be the CEO of every single brand. Like, I don't need to be at the top of that. And run everything. I was like, I don't even like doing that anyways. I don't like coming in there and like screaming and being the bad guy. I was like, I want to be on the creative side. I want to create, I want to come up with ideas, campaigns, help lead the way in how to grow the business and how to expand. Like those things that I like working on. I was like, I'm just going to stick to what I'm good at. And then whoever wants to be the big boss can be the big boss. I'll just be on the sidelines. And I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I've done that before. I've done that role before. I like, it's cool. It's just not for me.
Do you feel like, and I ask you this in all seriousness, do you feel like you found mastery in anything?
I feel like I'm always still learning. I think there's always people out there with like amazing like vision and mindsets and that I'm trying to pick apart and learn from.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've been gifted with something.
I think so.
I think something, you know, they
say so.
Somebody up there wants me to do really well, obviously.
Yeah.
That's obviously, and also keeps it challenging for me at the same time. I don't know, like being a master, I always feel like there's so much more to learn that I meet different people, and like you guys, and I talk about things, and I'm just like, wow, like I never would have thought that way.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm always picking things apart and learning. I'm forever a student. I don't know if I'll ever master anything, and I'm okay if I don't ever master anything, but I'm okay with being a student for this.
Well, I think you just said what you're a master of. You're a master of being a student, right? I mean, I think like...
Not in school.
No
you're
school.
You're not in school to be a student?
Not in a classroom.
Totally.
The world is your classroom.
we kind of throw around this term, master the art of student. I mean, we're at the Kinja's Dojo. We like hashtag this thing. And we really have like a real like philosophy behind... being a student like is it should be a forever thing, right? Even if you're a teacher, you're only going to be a better teacher the more you're learning. So the more you're constantly learning, you're going to able to teach that as well or apply that to whatever it is that you teach. So the whole idea of mastering the art of student is like learning how to constantly be in a mode of I have more to learn. Doesn't matter how much I have, there's more to gain. And you're going to keep going. Otherwise, then you're going to create your own ceiling and then you have nowhere to go. So I mean, I just feel like you just said it, right? Like you want to keep learning, keep growing and figuring things out. And yeah, I love it, man. I think like just the thing that I see in you is the natural, real organic way of connecting with people. And like you seem to me as a curious person. And if something piques your curiosity, you'll go into it and like dig into it and be like, what's here? You know, and then find out, oh, shoot, there's some gold here. You know, I might be able to kind of make something.
Or just dirt.
Or it's just dirt. Or it's just dirt, man. That's what's up. Within, like, okay, so having done all sorts of, like, like different types of industry of business and stuff. Was there anything like any like lessons learned, regrets, something that you wish you would have like done better, or if you can go back in time and like kind of coach yourself how to do something better? If anything,
it's so hard to say like that because I wouldn't, if things didn't happen the way they did, I wouldn't be in the place I am now.
Sure.
So it's hard to change any, like you change one second of your life and it could be like, it could be a completely different life now. I'm definitely content with how things turned out and I'm completely okay with it because all those hardships and failures were all lessons. And I think those lessons that we go through are, they teach us how to value like how important like these little successes are, these little pieces of things that, because they all add up to something big. All those losses, you understand, you're like, okay, well, now you understand the true meaning of like a dollar. You know, like, people are like, a dollar means nothing, like, I was just spending. But once you start going through like so many different situations and failures and hard experiences, you're like, dude, that dollar was so hard to earn. Like, you know, that it's so important to like hang on to that. And, like, am I just going to throw it away this time, or am I going to be a lot smarter with it? So, all those hardships that I've taken, like, they've taken me to where I'm at today. And to be more aware of how I take myself in the future.
Mm-hmm. How do you evaluate taking risks?
I don't really evaluate taking... how do I explain that? If something gets me really excited and I can't stop thinking about it, I'm going to go towards it, whether it's super risky or not. Mm-hmm. Because if I can't stop thinking about it, it's going to run in my head forever. It's like, yeah, it goes like curiosity. So I'm going to keep chasing it. And I'll just figure it out along the way. That's what usually happens. You know what I mean? Like, based off, like, a lot of the projects I have, like, you know, I've worked with, like, different partners. And some I've had great, you know, relationships with, and others that it just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I'm, like, more feeding off of, like, energy and vibes. And, like, hey, I have to be able to, like, have a good feeling about this person, follow my gut feeling, be able to like call this guy and just like joke around before, you know, before anything else, before we get into bed with each other and figure out what we want to do next. It's tricky, you know. I'm always jumping in first and figuring out along the way.
Yeah.
So I'm not for myself. I'm like, I don't want to live my life wondering about things. I'd rather just do it now. And if I fail, well, I'll figure something else. I'll jump onto the next.
Do you have any failures?
We call them failures, we call them lessons. I've had projects that failed. I'm like, along the way, like, you know, like, the clothing thing was always, like, super tough. You know, it wasn't easy. Like, some seasons we'd make, like, buttloads of money. And other seasons we'd miss shipment dates and accounts would be, like, calling us. Like, Zoomies would be like, where's our order? You're 180 days late. And we're like, all our bills right now. We need to pay this. You know, like, if we don't pay this, like, we're completely screwed. I'd had food projects that didn't work out. At a store called Noodle Noodle, and there was so much like tension going into that whole thing, and we had partners that were stealing from us. We had a car that ran into the store, and I was like, this is bad juju. We all need to get out of this now. Let's get the heck out of this. Another, I was like, oh, weird time. Like, what else? Yeah, I tried to launch an I'm King Vodka project back in like,
I remember
back
that
in
you're telling me about this vodka that you're about to do.
I was like, dude, I don't even like alcohol that much, and we're gonna test, sitting there testing like different vodkas. I was like, I don't even drink vodka. Every day we're drinking it, I was like sitting there, I was like, dude, this is the worst. Like, and I remember this guy's like, yeah, we know exactly what we're doing, we're gonna sell to all these distributors, and the partner we ended up with was like, it was all bad. And I was like, I'm not going in to learn the alcohol industry because I'm not passionate about it. I don't even like to drink that much, so I don't think this is a good idea. So
yeah.
Those things, we spend a lot of money and end up not doing it. And there's tons of stuff. There's tons of little failures like in between. That.
But I mean, I love how you put it. You said it depends on how you look at it. A failure is not a failure. It's a lesson learned, right?
It's a lesson learned. It's experience. It's experience. Like the more things, if you meet people with like so much experience, you'd be like, look at all the stories he has to tell. Like, that's why he's at where he's at, because he's seen everything. He knows exactly how to bob and weave. And you know, it's like a the boxer over time.
Totally.
He's not as fast, but he's like a lot smarter of how he, you know.
Yeah. I think like, that just reminds me, I mean, Charlie and I were talking about this, you were talking about that obstacles are opportunities, right?
Yes, they are.
And I think a failure is, that could be a one-time event, but then there are events that happen after that one time event, and that's your process of either bouncing back or like letting yourself be defeated by that failure, right? So I think somebody like yourself who's tried a ton of things, and not every single thing's gonna work, not every single thing's gonna hit, but you're the common denominator in all those things. Like, you're involving yourself in every one of those things. So if something works, great, we're gonna keep going with it. If it doesn't work, okay, that wasn't it, but I'm still me. I'm gonna bounce back out of this one and I'm gonna go towards the next thing, right? So I think that's something I completely see in you, and I've seen that like through your whole, I mean, just the growth of, you know, us being friends and just seeing your moves, man. I feel like that's just how you operate, you know? That's how you look at quote unquote failure, man. And that's dope. What are your thoughts about going into business with friends?
Depends what kind of friends. It all depends. Some friends, it just depends. Honestly, everyone's different. Everyone has a different personality. Some you'll gel with and you'll fill each other's gaps. Some people you're too alike and you're always doing the same thing where you're not filling the gaps and the problems happen, or you have people, you deal with egos and you deal with that's what they don't train you in. They don't teach you that business when you're in the books.
Right.
They don't teach you about partnerships. They don't teach you about the battles you go through with the people, your partners that you work with. They don't teach you about like personality issues of your staff and management. And you're like, oh, crap, I'm dealing with 1,000 different people with like, crazy personalities.
Yeah.
And no one's going to be able to think like you. You know?
Yeah.
If I can get someone like 85% me, then I'll take it.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. You just if you're transparent about it in the beginning, I think business is just like relationships, compromise, being transparent, putting everything on the table, everyone making sure they're doing their role. And I think if you do a lot of those things, you don't really have too much problems. But if any of those are out of whack, then it's gonna be a battle.
Yeah. Did you go to business school at all?
Yeah.
So you just kind of learned all this on the fly? School of hard knocks.
School of hard knocks, yeah. I learned it from asking questions. Like, you know, other people that have businesses and experienced other people that have great businesses, or people that have failures through partnerships. And I've always asked questions like, how do you deal with it? And same, they'll ask with me, like, how did you deal with this? And
yeah.
What would you do? And I think I've had numerous of business partners over time to kind of be able to figure out, like, what kind of people I want to work with and align myself with.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about trying to make sure you find balance, right, from your work life to your personal life. What do you do for your balance?
My wife puts me in check.
Of course.
That's
what she's there for.
We try to spend a lot of our time traveling right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a common thing that we both enjoy doing, and we use that as our outlet to not just to get away from things, but you know, it's still when I'm out there, I'm looking at things like, well, I'm gonna turn this into the.
I just can't shut that part off.
But no, yeah. You know, that's my escape. You know, like people don't know about it. You know, I watch tons of TV when I'm like, that's like my background noise. If I'm doing work on the computer, like Netflix, so some documentaries on, so I'm just like learning something and doing my work at the same time.
Yeah.
If I'm on a plane, when I'm on an airplane, I'm usually always reading. Just different things. I enjoy every day is like an adventure to me. I rarely eat at the same restaurant twice. I'm always like hunting out for a different restaurant.
Yeah.
And I did my list of like check-in stuff. I was like, dude, I think I've eaten at well over 10,000 restaurants. I'm like,
whoa.
For me, it's like an adventure. Every day is like a new adventure. I was like, I'd rather eat at a new crappy place than the place I've enjoyed before, just so I can get like a new experience and see what's out there and try different places. So every day I can go and say, hey, well, I've done this. I've experienced this. I've been able to like do as much as I can this lifetime.
Yeah. Do you run like a food blog?
I used to.
What was that one?
It was called Try Your Diet.
We actually turned it into a
business and it was making a lot of money.
Why wouldn't it?
Yeah. We started
We started that
at right before we launched Afters, just because our friends were food beasts. We were like doing stuff and they were getting free food all the time. We're like, I want to get free food, right? Next thing you know, we kept getting invited everywhere.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I don't want to eat. I can't eat anymore. But what we noticed when we were doing that was like, whenever we post on like our accounts and the food account was like their sales started increasing. And I was like, we need to get paid for this. Yeah. And their sales are increasing. So we're like, okay, we'll turn it into like a marketing agency.
That's oh, dope. Sick. Yeah.
Is it still that's, up that's and running? Fun.
They're still, like, the other guys are still up and running. Okay. I stepped back to pursue different things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still doing well and they're still killing it.
How do you approach like, so when you have like a new idea, like whether it's a food blog or just a new concept of a business or like a collaboration, like is there a methodical way that you approach it or is it based off of just gut feeling, instinct?
No, there's definitely, everything is pretty strategic when I'm looking at them, like if I'm starting, if I was starting like a record label, I'm going to go pair myself with people with experience in the industry to teach me about little things. And, you know, that you're looking for like certain things. If I'm looking for like a product placement guy, I'm going to pair up with this guy that knows everybody. And I'm like, I'm strategically plan who to put in what place, like who's going to be the best operator of this the restaurant, like who's going to be the best day to day guy. Cause I'm not going to be in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You put me in the kitchen, that's just going to burn down. everything's pretty strategic because we're always looking, we're watching, we're hanging out with certain people. We're like, hey, I think he'll fit that role. Let me go talk to him and see if he's interested. Or,
yeah.
Or people will be seeking out for me, like, oh, I want to do a partnership in this. And I'm like, we need to hang out first and let's see how this vibes out. And if it's cool, then we'll move forward.
Yeah. How old are you now? 33. Okay. Any regrets?
Regrets? I don't like using that. No.
We don't like negative words here.
No, I don't like. I can't say that because I'm such a. Things happen for a reason. 4.5 years ago, if you asked me, do you think you were going to be in the food industry or working, or let alone like 10, 13 different projects? I would have laughed and said, hell no, I'm only doing clothing. That's all I knew at the time. I thought if I wasn't going to do clothing, I'm screwed, you know? Once afters happened, I was like, if things were to ever go south, I would always be able to figure my way out. Mm-hmm. One way or another. I would always figure it out. I'm driven. I'll grind my way out of it. I will do things the right way. I will always do things that have value to me. I would do things being transparent. I would do things by working my butt off. What else would I apply? I would apply just being as genuine as I can and giving people opportunities that don't have it yet and opening doors for them. I think if I apply those things, I'll always be okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Damn.
How do you define success?
Success is different for everyone. I think success comes from what your values are to you and what's important to you. And once you figure out what your set of values are and not try to compare what someone else's values are, then you'll be able to live a lot happier. If you try to compare it to someone else's life, you're never going to be able to live someone else's life because everyone's experienced different things growing up and the mindset and where you're sitting right now. Your point of view of sitting here is my point of view sitting towards you.
Sure.
Yeah, that's my take.
That's great. Are you like a planner? Are you like pretty like schedule oriented? Do you like have a certain routine every day from morning to night?
I definitely like I keep everything like I treat my life like a point system, like a game. It's like a game for me like every day. Wake up, hit the gym. That's your point. You knocked out a point right there. Mm-hmm. Get your chores done. That's another point right there. Finish reading your book. That's another point right there. Knock out. You have 10 meetings. You need to knock out. You need to make sure you knock out 10 meetings before this time. That's when your points are out. It's a point system for me. I do have a schedule. The list is always there.
Do you get to cash in those points for some sort of reward? Do you get to cash in those points for like rewards?
I cashed in all those restaurants. All this weight gain that's given me. I don't want those points anymore. I'm trying to get them. I don't want any more rewards. I'm just hanging on to the points.
Good, man.
Hell yeah.
Like every day, like if I travel, like my point system is pretty ridiculous. When I talk about my point system, I travel, I'm like, today I need to eat at like 10 places on my list, right?
Oh,
so I know these 10 places. He went with me recently. I took him to Texas, and I was like, hey, we eat here.
Oh, man.
He's a chef over there. He's a chef, right? So he's like, he's always trying to order the whole menu. I was like, no, we're not going to order. We're only ordering the highlights, right? Hey, don't eat all of it, because we got to go to another place after this. He didn't learn his lesson. He ate the whole thing, and I was like, told you. We get to the second, third, fourth, fifth. He's like, ugh. I was like, dude, just take a bite. We're on to the next one.
Just like sampling, right?
It's like a day of sampling.
Yeah.
So that's like the point system. Like, we go travel, I'm like, if I have this place on my list, I need to knock it out, because I'm like, I'm never going back to Idaho again. I've been eating all these places in Idaho right now.
Yeah. Dang, I'm trying to travel with you, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Point system.
Yeah. I'm trying to order a dish, just take one bite and say, thank you. I'm out.
On to the next one.
What do you guys do? Don't worry about it, man. We're dream chasers, baby.
That's good. What's next? What's on the radar?
I'm always looking to, like, I'm always seeing what industry I want to conquer next. Like you said, I'm curious. I'm always watching, like, different industries. Like, hey, how can I go shape this? Whether it's like the tech industry or like product based things or real estate environments that I'm working on right now. I'm like, my hands are like all like just watching. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna try a little here. If it makes sense, I'm gonna go towards more of that. I'm gonna push things here. If it works well, I'm gonna go towards that. I've done a lot of consulting. I'm doing real estate development now. I'm doing product development. There's tons of different things. Anything that like piques my interest and gets me excited. If it gets me excited, I'm just going to go towards it.
Yeah.
And if it does well, cool. If it doesn't, then I'm going to bring the pieces that did really well in that and just apply them to something else to make sure that it works the next time around. So,
yeah. That's dope, man. Yeah. I love how, like, again, you say your curiosity will get you interested. And if it's fun and exciting, you'll go for it. But you don't go after it without a plan. You don't go after it without your team knowing like what you are. So it's like, okay, I like it, but here's how I know it's going to work if I apply these principles or apply this system that I have.
Yeah.
So it's dope how you approach that, man. It's really dope. I think it's lightning round time. Lightning round. We're going to fire off some questions, bro. All
right.
Off the top of your head, you just got to go. Man, you can't even think.
You mentioned TV shows earlier. What's your favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show? What am I watching right now? I thought Game of Thrones was really good. I didn't watch it until like recently. Like all of it.
Doesn't matter. As long as you watch it, you're good.
Yeah, we got sucked in. I like Lost season one's like one of my favorite shows.
Lost season one is amazing.
When I watched that, like I was like, I'm not going to the office tomorrow. I'm just going to watch this. Can't stop.
Hell yeah.
I like a lot of movies. I remember a lot of movies. I like Hook.
Oh, Hook is a classic.
Sandlot, Coming to America.
Good, that's good.
A lot of different things.
Yeah. Okay, Dream Collab.
Dream Collab? I'm going to work with Disney one way or another.
I believe that's for sure going to happen. I'm putting that out there.
I could see that.
I could see that. Do it. Freaking love that.
A favorite anime.
For anime? Naruto or Dragon Ball?
Buddy.
You're disagreeing
over here. Favorite After's ice cream flavor?
Milk and cereal, for sure.
Oh. Worst After's ice cream flavor?
We tried to make this avocado flavor before. I remember the guys were like, damn, dude, that tastes like guacamole. But we also tried this blue cheese one. That was bad, too.
Blue cheese ice cream?
Wow.
That didn't come out very well.
Oh, that's interesting.
Favorite travel destination?
Surprisingly, the I enjoyed recently. I went in January to New Zealand. I didn't check much from New Zealand, so I went to Australia. I was like, it's probably the same thing, right? And I came there, I was like, this place is awesome.
Favorite book?
Start With Why by Simon Sinek. I was in a weird funk at one point in my clothing time, and then I read that book, and it taught me why I did the clothing thing in the first place and why I did business in the first place. And I think that book is like has a means a lot to me.
Sick. Worst idea you've ever pursued?
Worst idea? Oh, man, I've done a lot of those. Now, that noodle concept was pretty bad. Not the new one. The new one with Chef Michael, the red envelope, was really good. But the first one we did, the noodle when I died.
What was that? Was that like pho or what?
It was supposed to be like we were supposed to bring like pho, and then we were supposed to do ramen and bring ramen to like bolsa. And our... It was all wrong. Like,
by the way, I'm from Westminster too,
yeah.
So I feel like the culture that you're bringing to Western State. It's like, thank you very much. We don't have a lot of stuff out there. All we have is an over amount of Vietnamese people and a lot of nail salons. But please continue.
Favorite cuisine of all time?
Favorite cuisine? If those Vietnamese or Japanese, I can eat those for like the rest of my life.
Nice.
And tacos.
Tacos. If you had to pursue a career in the entertainment, art, or sports, what would it be?
Entertainment, art, or sports?
Yeah.
I'd be like the talent. I think I'd be like a talent scout or something like that. I'd be like sports, I'd be like a talent scout. And like in music, I'd be like, obviously, Scooter Braun's not a bad job. I'd take that hit.
Nice.
I'd take his job of like helping, building, shaping artists and finding pieces to build to the brand and kind of help direct them towards like creative directing.
Sick. So kind of what you're doing already, but just
in like that industry.
I got a two part. Favorite actor and favorite artist. Favorite actor's work.
Favorite
actor and then.
Oh man. They threw me for a hard one. Somebody throw me some ideas.
Like in the past we've had like Denzel or Brad Pitt or
Jim Carrey.
Will Smith is a popular one.
Toby Maguire. Never been said.
Will Smith's a popular one, but more on the Fresh Prince side than
Fresh Prince.
Like Fresh Prince Will Smith.
That's a good Will Smith.
That is good.
I would pick that one.
Will Smith's good.
Favorite Nickelodeon show?
Probably Rugrats or the original Doug.
The original Doug. Nice.
Not when ABC took over Doug.
I need more allowance. Okay, sorry. That's
good.
I'm out of question.
I think we're lightning round out.
Yeah, that was good.
That was really good, actually.
Cool. So we have this thing called Golden Rule. Golden Rule, pretty much self-explanatory. Everybody kind of knows what that is. But it's your life mantra. It's something that either someone else has said that you're like, oh, I like that. I'm going to apply that to my life. Or something that you've developed for yourself. If you had a Golden Rule, what would that be?
My Golden Rule is make sure you tell the greatest story never told. When I'm like 100 years old and I have buttloads of grandchildren, I want to tell them the greatest story I ever lived, and that, like I told you, I never wondered about that or anything. I actually went out and pursued it, and whether it did well or not, like I was able to live this great life, and whether I'm here and gone tomorrow, that I'm doing as much as I can in the amount of time I have out here right now. And I think if I'm not doing anything, I'm not really living. So I'm going to go out there and do the most.
So wow.
That is golden.
That is the golden rule.
Very good, man. Where can people follow you on your journey, man, your life journey of all over the world to all the ventures? Where can people find you? Social media, websites? Whatever.
Yeah, you can find me on social media. My IG and everything that's at Andy the Nguyen or Andy the Win, whatever.
And you spell it just for,
A-N-D-Y-T-H-E, last name spelled N-G-U-Y-E-N.
Nice.
And don't worry, I'll list that in the show notes.
Of course. Is that it? Just Instagram?
No, you want to email, you can find my email through the Instagram.
got it.
I'll put that in the show notes.
Slide in the DM and I'll answer any questions you have.
That's what's up, man. Yo, Andy, man, I just got to say, dude, I'm super inspired by you. I feel like every time we link up to like grab lunch to, catch up on life and just seeing like, I'm obviously following you on all your stuff and just seeing the way that you operate more than like just the businesses and the things that you're doing. It's your approach. And I think every time I talk to you, no matter what's going on and no matter what's on your plate, you have a very consistent level head. And you care about the people first, and I can see that. Like from the people that you decide to work with, to the ideas that you decide to pursue, you care about the people that are involved first, because it starts with those people. If I don't want to be around people that I'm gonna do with, it doesn't matter how good the idea is. Like I just don't want to do it, right? So I'm super inspired by that, man. And just seeing your journey, dude, like it's really dope to see, and I'm so glad that you hopped on here. You're not a dancer, obviously. That's not your trade. That's not your profession.
Hey, he is.
I mean, at heart, he might wreck some walking. He might wreck some fools in the Nordic track circle. and you know, like, yeah, see him in the circle.
People still see walk.
Oh yeah, yeah. See,
yeah, I'm probably not gonna do that. We have to finish off.
But yeah, like just the way that you are just a creative thinker outside the box, man. We vibe with that. And yeah, for Kinjas, man, you're a huge inspiration to us. And yeah, for you to come on a podcast like this to offer knowledge that is going to be probably a little bit different for our demographic, but like we have, you know, young people to people our age that are trying to hustle, trying to figure things out. So I feel like your perspective on life and business and people and relationships, all of that, man, is so valuable. So, dude, thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you guys for having me here. I'm super honored. I'm you know, a huge, besides, you know, watching from distance, I'm a huge fan of you guys, and I love what you guys do and how you guys work with the community and building it and try to shift it yourselves. I definitely admire that. And hope we can do more crazy collabs together.
Yeah. You know it, my friend. Yes. You know it. Well, cool, cool. Dude, thanks so much for stopping by. And yeah, I think we're good, right?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. If you don't forget, please leave a comment on iTunes. Give us a rating, good or bad. We like to learn. Also, check out KinjasPodcastWithAK.com. Follow us on social media, KinjasPodcastWithAK. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You know it.
That's it. And then we plugged it all up.
Dang, Fal. Did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
I killed that one, dude. All right, well.
Thanks for listening, y'all.
Peace.
Peace.
Shing, shing.